7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Another week, another MNCAA, and holy shit, here with me, Ryan Stieg. This is the first time we're going to jump into the podcast on an extremely positive note. I'll let you just take it from there. What would you like to share with everybody?
A certain hockey team won their first Division I game.
Baby.
Yeah, St. Thomas defeated Ferris State last Saturday, 5-2. At the St. Thomas Ice Arena in Mendota Heights. It's a really big accomplishment for them, and I wish I had been there. Unfortunately, I had another thing I had to deal with, a family thing, but hopefully I'll be there for the next one.
I don't know, man. Maybe you're not allowed there now after an OT loss and a win. You're just not allowed.
Yeah, I briefly thought about that. I'm like, was it me? Am I the problem?
Oh yes, going through the many stages of a breakup, right? It's pretty much the same thing. So I mean, talk about it though. Like, that first game had to have been pretty stressful, like getting there, getting to overtime and being like, we got it here, we got our first win, and then boom, done. Didn't happen.
Yeah, it was tough because I was watching it on TV. I was in North Dakota with my family and some relatives, and I was watching it on Flow Hockey, and the whole time I'm thinking, oh, they might get it. You know, I thought their best chance to get a win was going to be against Ferris State. And I thought, it's going to overtime, but I think they might pull it out. Then Ferris scored. It was kind of deflating. I was just like, oh, man, they came so close. But they came close. Maybe they can get it the next night. And the following night wasn't even it wasn't even close. I mean, St. Thomas blew the doors off them right away. I mean, they eventually built up. People are following my tweets. I'm sure it got kind of repetitive when I said first three goal lead, first four goal lead.
Hey, you're just marking history, man.
Yeah. So, but yeah, held a 5-0 lead at one point. Ferris got kind of two cheap ones, you know, to make it 5-2, but the outcome wasn't in doubt at that point. I mean, it was a complete game from them. I asked Rico Blasi about it, and he said, you know, it's like, everything kind of came together. You know, we didn't just have a good start. We, you know, we played three full periods, and yeah, they scored two, you know, late in the third, but still, you know, it was from start to finish a solid game.
And so, like, what was different about this game? Like, you've harped on it all year, right? Let's see a complete 60-minute effort. But like, what stood out on the ice? Like, what had you convinced, like, yes, this was that 60-minute effort?
It's just, you know, it looked organized. Like, the passing was crisp. It looked like they knew where everybody was on the rink. They knew where everyone would be. That anticipation was going to be there. You knew, like, hey, if I dump it in the zone, these guys are going to get there fast enough. You know, if I, you know, pass it back, the person's going to be there. I mean, everything looked in order, which, you know, was in place at times in their previous games, but it wasn't consistent. It would, you know, maybe be that way in the first period, then something would happen and things would get shaky, or, you know. So that was great to see. Peter had a solid night in net. He looked good Friday. He looked good Friday, but Saturday he looked really great. There was like kind of the performance that maybe they were waiting out of him. You know, I don't know if he's locked down the number one spot, because, you know, Jacob Berger played pretty solid in Lake State. And I'm sure they're still trying to work things out, but it seems like they got the performance that they've been really waiting for out of him. The power play could use a little work. I mean, when they played Ferris on Friday, I was tweeting out how, you know, they're on the power play for, you know, 0-7 on the night. I think might have been 0-8 they finished, and just they looked good in other areas, but the power play just wasn't clicking. And I feel like that's ultimately what cost them Friday. If they had gotten just one of those, you know, maybe earlier, they would have been able to pull it off. But it's just when you combine good D and, you know, putting puck in the net and just everything really did came together. Stuff that I was wondering how much longer it was going to happen until it happened, it finally did. And it was really nice to see. I you know, if you were there in attendance, I would, again, I was not, but from what I've talked from people who were there, is a cool thing to behold.
I can imagine. I mean, again, part of history, right?
Yeah.
But you mentioned there, right? The power play, something to improve on. Like, what else do you see as what's next? Because this isn't it. Like, we haven't reached the pinnacle yet. Like, what do you want to see now moving forward to really show you that they're taking further steps?
Again, like, I'm going to talk about consistency again. I mean, they've looked good at times. Now they have a full game. They put it together. Now they get to do it like game after game and week in and week out. They are going to Arizona State this week. Ferris State was coming off a bad season, like a really bad, might have been the worst in program history. They didn't have a single win in the WCHA last year. It was just, they were ravaged by COVID. So they're trying to bounce back this year. They got some good talent there, but it was kind of a rebuilding year for them. Whereas Arizona State, as most of us know, they made the NCAA tournament a few years ago. And you know, they're returning stuff. They've built up a reputation that they are a program on the rise. So it's going to be a little more difficult. So they're going to have to play what they played like on Saturday. I think they've shown that they can. Now, again, like, they just need to prove that they can do it over and over again. And I'm excited. I've been intrigued with each series, but I feel like now that they've gotten that win, it makes it even more enticing because I want to see if they can get that second one.
Big sigh of relief they're breathing. And am I off here? Is this the matchup of the two most recent D1 additions for college hockey, or is there another one that happened between Arizona State and St. Thomas?
Well, Long Island came in, you know, and I think that might have been the last one in between them. Because that brought it, I think, back to an even number. And then, of course, you know, Augustana just announced that they're going to do it. And, you know, Lindenwood, and you got to throw some of that in there. But it's, you know, I mentioned it a little bit in my preview. Again, thetripledeek.com. I'm going to say it every week.
I hope you say it three times every week.
Because it's Triple Deek, you know. There you go. There's a second time. But it's an interesting situation because Arizona State started their program from nothing. They were basically a campus team. You know, they were an AHCA team, not an actual NCAA team. And they launched it into Division I. When you got over here, you got St. Thomas was D3. They're the first team to launch itself into Division I from the D3 level. It's kind of a nice comparison to make. You look, Arizona State showed that you can be successful. You can get into the NCAA tournament. We need to have, you know, the building blocks to get there. And they've shown that St. Thomas is the potential to do that too. I mean, the first year Arizona State wasn't at its best. And now, you know, now St. Thomas is making some progress and maybe they can get that way too. Most likely not going to be this year. Hate to be a downer on any Tommy's fans who have higher aspirations this year, but you know, the potential's there. I mean, the passion seems to be, guys are buying into the program. Rico's told me that before. Everybody seems to be on the right page. So if Arizona State can have success, St. Thomas is more than capable of doing the same.
So, I mean, if you're Rico Blasi though, like, how are you going out and trying to recruit and compete with the pool parties, the fun out at Arizona State? Like, that just, I'm sorry, like, it's not even a shot at St. Thomas. Arizona State seems like a great place to go play hockey.
You know, I've thought about it myself. I mean, like, you know, Arizona State's like a big party school, seems like a blast. I mean, you're playing where it's warm, you know. Everybody else is freezing in February, you know. You're having I don't even know how warm it does get in winter in Arizona. It's probably not that bad. What, like 70s?
it can't be that bad. And I mean, the added bonus too, where like you're probably technically the most skilled hockey team in the state of Arizona too.
So. Yeah. Better than the Coyotes, you can even say.
That's what I'm getting at here.
But, I think his thing is I don't know his exact sales pitch, but I mean, I think you're in the Twin Cities. Hockey's big here. You know, you have the chance to really make your name for, you know, I've done a couple feature stories, and the two guys I've written about, they were like, they wanted to be a part of this. They want to be the first class, you know, some might move on, but you know, the first group that entered the D1 era, they want to leave that stamp and that try to build that success on it. And I think that's the pitch right now. They really don't have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. They actually can't this year. And so you have to recruit guys that are aware of that and are focused on getting better and not just using the school as kind of like a launching pad for the pros. Cause you know, a lot of college players will go in and be like, okay, I'm going to be here a year or two and then I'm going to go see what I can do somewhere else. Whereas I think St. Thomas is going with the, let's get as many guys as we can to fully buy in and, you know, create a stability here so they can build on it. And, it's a good sales pitch. I mean, it's not like, hey, it's going to be 75 and sunny outside when you go to the hockey rink kind of a thing, or you might have a big party afterwards. It's probably not quite that, but I think he's got a good pitch. And I should ask him that. Wonder at some point, I should ask him what his big recruiting pitch is and see what it is. So, but it's, Arizona State is enticing, but I don't know. I like the cities. I think it's a better place. It's just me.
Fair enough. And you do still have the third obligatory mention of a certain website.
Yes.
Tell everyone else what else they can be looking out for. Like, what does Ryan Stieg have on the horizon?
Well, I brought out my preview for the week. I do that every week for St. Thomas's weekend preview against Arizona State. I'm going to have a women's preview for their weekend. They're going out to RIT this weekend. Good chance for them to get another win. Had kind of a rough weekend against Duluth coming to town, but they have a chance to bounce back, so that'll be up there. I am writing a feature story on Kimball Johnson that's going to be on the Rink Live. For those who don't know that website, publication, it's going to be kind of fun. He's the feature is going to be about his time in Texas. He's a Texas native. What's it like playing hockey growing up in Texas in the Southwest region? And kind of like, and it's really interesting. I think people find it kind of fascinating because he has a fun story to tell there. But you know, next week, you know, I'll probably have more stuff to put on the website. This kind of a feature would, you know, normally be up on the Triple Deke. There's a fourth mention.
Triple Deke what?
The tripledeke.com. There we go. Everybody go to the website. But this one is going to be on the Rink Live. They asked me if I'd be willing to do a feature, so I'm doing it for them. But I'll continue to kick out content. There's going to be more stuff next week. It's I'm glad people are going to the site, though. I encourage them to continue to do so.
No, that's awesome, man, writing for the Rink Live. And, of course, everyone, go check out thetripledeke.com. As we transition over here, remember, everyone, all Ryan Stieg wants here is for St. Thomas to be consistently consistent.
Yes.
Now, let's throw it over to Alex Micheletti for some Mankato Maverick talk.
NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, folks, as promised on the other side, we have him here, man, myth, legend, back after a hiatus last week because, well, the team took a hiatus as well. Alex Micheletti here covering Mankato Maverick hockey every Friday on MNCAA. How are we doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing? I'm excited, excited to have the Mavs back in action and another good weekend of college hockey coming up.
For sure. But before we do that, we have to touch on it because we skipped it last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the Michigan game.
Yeah, I mean, they played really well. I mean, against all these studs. I mean, they had a lead going into the third period and then, yeah, just couldn't hold on to the lead. And then Michigan, you know, won by a goal there. You know, to have a lead going into the third period against Michigan was really impressive. And you know, Dryden made one of the saves of the college hockey season. Yeah, it was incredible from side to side. That's one we'll look back at this at the end of the year. But another solid weekend for the Mavs to face the best competition in the country. They played Providence and beat Providence the day before. So. Another top 10 win. So that'll be good for the pairwise, come April. So, I give them thumbs up all for a productive weekend and, nobody got hurt. So, and rested up during the bye. So, we'll take it for sure.
Love it. And I mean, let's just fast forward and say, hey, that's what it ends up being, man. Mankato versus Michigan for the Natty. Like, what are the coaching notes? Like, what is Coach Micheletti going in and saying, like, boys, here's where we fucked up last time. Here's what we need to do to win.
Yeah, stay out of the box. They got back into the game with a power play goal. So, staying out of the box. How did they – on the game-winning goal, they just got beat on a rush. The guy made an amazing play across ice then just wired a shot past Dryden. So, just staying defensively structured, limit the shots like they have with everybody. It's a high powered offense. Try to get rebounds on their goalie. Their goalie is one of the biggest goalies in the country. I mean, he's like 6'5", 6'6". So, I mean, it's a tough task to get pucks by him. So, making sure to get rebounds and, number one thing is staying out of the box against that team. And, make it a one goal game like they did. And, they almost pulled it out. So, see if they can do it, again here, later in the year, it'd be fun.
Absolutely it would. So let's talk now. Okay, we've had the bye week, like mm-hmm. everyone's healed up, no yep. excuses. Going into Northern Michigan, actually not going into, we got a home series here for the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. I mean, any concern at all coming off a bye, coming off of such a big start to the season, like any chance for a letdown game here for game one on Friday?
I don't think so. I'm predicting that Dryden's going to get the record here this weekend. I feel really confident they're going to be at home. They tend to own Northern Michigan, and just over the years, and I think the bye is really going to help them. And I think they'll be going full go. They'll have another full barn again. It's fun. Grandpa Tolney's is a great coach too. So, it should be a fun series. The games tend to be pretty physical too against Northern Michigan. So I can't wait.
Love it. And so, like, let's say Mankato was to drop a game Friday or Saturday, don't care. Like, what do you see potentially going wrong that would lead to that outcome?
Yeah, well, we can look back at the St. Cloud, you know, series. They won on Friday, and then they came back Saturday extremely flat. So, you know, making sure that they have a full weekend, you know, make sure, you know, because the team that usually loses Friday, they come out on Saturday just, you know, gangbusters. And so making sure, you know, that they don't get frustrated. You know, Nathan Smith had a really off game against St. Cloud on Saturday night. I'm just turning pucks over, taking bad penalties. So, you know, just sticking to the game plan, you know, don't get off kiltered if they score, you know, a cheap goal, you know, like St. Cloud got a couple off skates. And so, you know, just, you know, sticking to the game plan and, you know, if you get an opportunity on special teams, you know, on the power play, bury it. They haven't had a lot, you know, they didn't have a lot of chances, you know, the week of the icebreaker on the power play. And so, you know, try to get the power play, you know, game going at home and get the crowd into it, because when they get that crowd going into it, they rarely lose at home there. So
very fair. And so what I'm kind of curious about now, because you already touched on it, right? We're calling our shot sometime this weekend. We're getting the record for Dryden McKay. Looking at the schedule right now, like, so we got through the tough part of the schedule, right? Now we got Northern Michigan, who's no slouch, right? But it's not the same competition that you've been playing up to this point.
No.
Then it drops off even more with Ferris State the next weekend. I mean, tell me, like, do you see this weekend, especially if he were to get the record on Friday, like, do you see this being the first split for McKay? Do you see that coming against Ferris State? Do you think it doesn't happen at all this season? Like, how do you manage the load for a guy like that who's going to be so crucial if you really want to make a run in the tourney?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, they're going to have to go to, you know, one of the backups, Rancier or Miller. You know, I would expect, you know, maybe one of them to get in against a Ferris or, you know, St. Thomas coming up, one of the more offensively challenged teams in the CCHA, give Dryden maybe a little rest. I mean, cause you know, you want him to be, you know, ready to go come playoff time in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I would hold off until, you know, till they play one of the teams that has a tough time scoring. So one of those two squads. So maybe a Saturday night against Ferris. But, you know, Mike Hastings was on the Rink Live podcast the other day. He said he wished he could have Dryden for seven or eight years and make his life really easy. So, you know, it's hard to pull him out of the nets. And, you know, that's what led to Jackson Stauber transferring, who's at Providence, because he never got in. But when you have a legitimate Hobie and Mike Richter candidate, knock on wood, it's hard to take him out of the net, you know.
No, I get it. It's a tough thing. So, I mean, I'm just reading between the lines here. Yeah. It sounds like we're predicting a sweep this weekend.
Yes.
And are we saying one shutout? Are we bold enough to say two? Like, what are we thinking?
I'll say one. I really want to see him get the record this weekend and have it be at home in front of a full crowd. You know, I say he gets it done on Friday, and then Saturday, you know, we'll see. But I just think with the bye week, it's really going to help them. And I was listening to another podcast earlier today, just preparing for this one, the Maverick podcast that Shane Frederick does, Puckado, and he had Julian Napravnik on, and they were kind of talking about how, you know, college hockey, it's pretty unique. You know, they don't really have a training camp. They just kind of get thrown to the wolves right away, you know, because they limit the amount of time you can even have on the ice with the coaches. And so, you know, I think this week and having the break, you know, I think, you know, it's given them a lot of opportunity to, you know, get the special teams going. And so I think, like I said, I think they're really going to, you know, get things rolling on Friday night and pound the Wildcats of, you know, Northern Michigan. So.
Love it, love it, love it. Going slightly off brand here for just a second because it's right in front of me. And, well, timely here as we record later on Wednesday evening this week. We won't get into all of the absolute bullshit. We'll save this for another episode of the dumpster fire that is the Chicago Blackhawks organization. But what the fuck, Micheletti? 3-2 overtime win for the Leafs against the Blackhawks with the injuries and COVID and all of this shit spiraling around. Oh, is it like, are the Leafs done? Like, are they just garbage now?
What they decided to go with their goaltending, I just did not think that was the answer. Campbell and Mrazek, and it's if you don't have goaltending, you're not going to win in the league. I mean,
but they're not scoring goals either.
They're not scoring goals. I mean, you're paying what, Mitch Marner $11 million a year. I mean, he had a couple assists tonight, but I mean, where has he been? Their defensive core is not great past Morgan Riley either. So, you know, good for Justin Holt for, you know, how long he's been there, but, he doesn't do much, offensively. Jake Muzzin's okay, but yeah, it's a mess. At some point they're going to have to move, one of their big time forwards.
Matthews to Arizona, speak it into existence, baby.
Right. You know, and after that ESPN article came out too, that, you know, he's all really into fashion. They don't have to wear suits to games anymore down there. Get him back home. I'm sure he would love to get back there. That would be a bombshell of a trade. I also thought, John Tavares, that when he went there, I don't know if that was the right move or not, but yeah, it hasn't worked out so far.
Yeah, and it's hard to know what part of it hasn't worked out so far. But I'm with you. Like, obviously something hasn't worked out, but shit, how do you turn down an opportunity like that? But I mean, Lou Lamoriello sitting there laughing in his Islanders pajamas, right?
Oh, 100%. And, he's got one of the best coaches in the league in Barry Trotz too. And, they just are a pain in the butt to play against. So yeah, they are laughing for sure.
Oh baby. And good transition there. We have for the closing segment here, because on me folks, bad scheduling here this week. We only have Ryan Stieg and Alex Micheletti. But wait, no, we don't. We have Islanders legend and former Go Huskies, Mark Parrish on the other side to talk high-level MNCAA as a whole. Micheletti, anything you want to tease here, though, before I throw it over there?
I'm excited to, you know, for another slate of college hockey. Also, if you guys haven't checked out Locked On Wild podcast that Seth Topol runs, I'm on there every Monday, and we recap the weekend in NHL and Wild. And so yeah, it was a crazy weekend for the Wild with their loss against Nashville. So we recap that. So I'll go give that a listen. And we talked about Kirill Kaprizov and the slow start for him. No goals yet. So hopefully he can start burying the puck, and we'll see who has COVID on the team. You know, now that they have a mini outbreak. So hopefully everybody's okay. But another game on Thursday for the Wild in Seattle. So
love it. And anyone that's new to the Soda Pod by virtue of this MNCAA Friday segment, let me tell you, Seth Topol is just a wonderful human being. Does a great job over there with Locked On Wild, he keeps on coming up with new names on Twitter. You'll find him, I'm sure of it. Please check him out. Give him some love. Definitely stop in when Micheletti is on the mic there with him. But tossing it over now, we have, again, a quick little teaser here for Mark Parrish on a full interview we'll be dropping next week on YouTube. Get out there, subscribe, check it out. Enjoy Mark Parrish. Talk a little bit about, like, not just your time at St. Cloud, but, I mean, you already said it, right? Like, Gophers carried that cockiness, that swag, and, I mean, back then, They deserve to. But now, like, look at the landscape of Minnesota college hockey. Like, we it's had amazing. To make a Friday segment called MNCAA to cover all six Division I teams. Like, just talk about the state of college hockey in Minnesota.
Oh, man. It's incredible to me how much it's grown and just continues to grow. The state of hockey, you know, it gets kind of said over and ad nauseum sometimes, but it's true. We just keep not just kicking out players, but then players that go on to coaches. How about the coaches that are there that we have here for those six universities and how competitive they are and how good they are? It's just incredible to me. You know, thinking about Mankato, yeah, they kind of came into D1 when I was first there. And now they're up there with the best in the country. I am still quite sore about the old WCHA. That was the best league in college hockey. And all of a sudden the WCHA, that one stung. The NCHC now, hey, they've done an amazing job. You look at what they've done too. They've stepped right in and been dominant. You know, Minnesota Duluth, obviously, Sky Sandlin, you just can't say enough of that guy. Sandy's just an awesome dude. His intensity, I would never want to be on his bad side. My God, his look is just terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And Bob Motzko doing such a, you know, going to the U now, we don't, you know, I get it. It stings a little bit as a Husky. And I hate saying that sometimes I'm kind of pulling for the Gophers, but I've got so much respect for Motzko, what he did at St. Cloud and now him at Minnesota. But just, again, it goes back as I kind of go on to all these details, but it's just awesome how much this state just continues to grow and influence not just the college hockey level, but the pro hockey level. And we just keep kicking out NHLers and kicking out college players and kicking out coaches and all these players that are involved. And I absolutely love it because the hockey world, you know, just gets smaller and smaller as you go up. And it's all my buddies I grew up with in Minnesota that are running everything. And I just love it. It's a point of pride for all of us Minnesota boys. It's no matter what, when you're playing, you see a kid from Minnesota on the ice. Crap, granted, this a few years ago when I retired, you know, you always went and tapped him on the shoulder or the shin pads. You always went and said hi. There was always a point of pride. It was like being part of the greatest fraternity on earth, being from Minnesota, not Canada.
I thought you were going to say not Wisconsin.
Oh, they're not even on our radar when it comes to hockey.
I don't know, Mark. Nothing made me happier than Phil Kessel giving him the middle finger and going to the Gophers.
That is Phil. You know, there is only one Phil Kessel. He is an absolute beauty. And I'm going to say he better not change. He's never changing. Who are we kidding?
He won't change.
No.